The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. Let's say good morning to our neighbors to the right and to the left. Say to them, happy full measure. Happy full measure. So this morning we are in the second part two of our teaching on full measure. Holy one, long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us cope in this world where we roam. Ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. We have come with open heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Amen and amen. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke 6, 38. The word of God says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. Will be put into your bosom. So we pretty much are just going to continue from where we stopped last week and unpack further a few things that we didn't have the time to explain. I mean, the crucial things that are pivotal. So we see here, this is Jesus' words himself. You see, some things some people will term as, oh, that is Old Testament, or, oh, that is New Testament. Oh, it doesn't get more New Testament than this. It doesn't get more New Testament than this, because this are the exact words of Jesus. And he was teaching. Now, it's a principle that cuts across every aspect of life. In fact, it cuts across life itself. Another translation would say, give your life. So, in any area that you want abundance, that you just don't want restoration, that you want full restoration, you want abundance in whatever area, there's a formula coming out here, and it is give. And when you give, it will be given back to you. And this is what will be given back to you: good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. So we established that full measure is actually good measure that is pressed down, that is shaken together, and that is running over. Then you have full measure. So to have good measure is not full measure, because a good measure has not even taken care of the vessel fully. It has to be pressed down. So when we think our vessels are full, God is saying you can still get more in, pressed down. Now, when it comes to us as vessels, we really don't like the pressure of press down. You see, and if we check our lives, the areas we've allowed God to actually work on us, quote unquote, pressed down, making room for more, are those areas that we are experiencing much more. Pressing down sometimes can be uncomfortable. Pressing down can be uncomfortable sometimes, you know, because we don't really determine how it is achieved. You know, I think one of the Thrive sessions, somebody asked, you know, about Satan tempting us and God testing us, and what is the difference and all that. And we explained that, you see, many times God will actually use the enemy to achieve his purposes in the life of his children. So God will allow the enemy to test a child of God. Why? Because God has a bigger thing coming. So it really doesn't matter, because your father is in control. It doesn't matter. And sometimes God allows men. I mean, the psalmist would say, you allowed men to ride on our heads. We went through the fire. We went through the waters. Then you've brought us to a large place, a wealthy place. That large place, that wealthy place, the way to it is pressed down. And sometimes it's as if pressed down is not enough. It has to be shaken together. When you think that, this is just enough, they come to shake you together, to make room for more, to make room for more. Hallelujah. Now, you know, and this perspective of it is so powerful, because your life cannot contain more than its capacity. A man or a woman cannot become more than their capacity to become. So even though you have potential, a lot of people have potential but never achieve it. Do you know why? Because potential needs a vessel. Potential needs expression. Potential needs capacity. And one of the things that God uses many times is adversity. So you have the vessel you've brought, or you've been dealt, or you are given. Sometimes life, you don't choose the life you get, you know, the place you are born, your genetic makeup, the gifts and talents, and all that stuff. Your vessels. However, regardless of how talented you are, or not talented you think you are, there is more in God for you. There is more in God for you. So what heaven does is to make room for more, you are pressed down. You see, so I was speaking to someone, and the person was saying to me how all of a sudden their life is just chaotic, and you know, and this old pastor, oh, this old pastor, oh, that old pastor. And when I stepped back and I listened and I observed, and I said to the person, I said, listen, it appears to me that God is trying to increase your capacity. The person said, eh? How? You know, I'm like, God is trying to increase your capacity. The pressed down, the shaking together is making room for the running over. Hallelujah. The pressed down, the shaking together is making room for the overflow. It's making room for the overflow. So when you are pressed down and everything appears to be shaking, God is making room for you. And God is making room for you. And He will take you to where He's destined for you to be, in the name of Jesus. So this is so powerful. It's so powerful. It's so powerful. Pressed down, shaking together, and running over. Hallelujah. It will always run over. It will. You see, that's how God is. If you cooperate with God, if you stay with God, if you stick it with God, your life will always be in the overflow. And I'm speaking to, people in this generation that think that, oh, I need to join this cult, or I need to do this so that I can, you know, see, there's so much going on out there, you guys know it. You know, people, sometimes Christians, don't understand that God is interested in you overflowing more than you are. Because these scriptures were written before you were born. God is interested in you overflowing more than you are. So, why don't we settle in and look at God's own way? Why? Because God's full measure is always beyond measure. God's full measure is always beyond measure. By the time you've been pressed down, shaken together, and it is running over, it is always beyond measure. It is always beyond measure. Hallelujah. So going on, we see here that it says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. So there are a lot of things at play here. So the first thing is the vessel you bring. So when you bring the vessel, you've in a way determined the capacity, right? In a way. But God doesn't stay limited to the capacity of your vessel. He presses down, He shakes together, He maximizes the vessel. Now, He still does not stop there. Now, listen to this. He says, and running over will be put into your bosom. So, will be put means that it is outside of your control. Your overflow is outside of your control. It's outside of your control. That is one. Secondly, it is also connected to your lap. It's connected to your bosom. Your lap is like an access to your bosom, actually. You know? So, the translation that says lap is correct. Why? Because it is like having this kind of, you know, clothing from your lap. So you have your vessel and it is full, and then they don't stop when it is full, and they are pouring it, and then you have your dashiki, whatever you have, you know, to collect the extra. Now listen, and it is poured into your bosom. From your lap to your bosom. Now, Now, so your capacity does not limit your overflow. Your capacity does not limit your overflow. Good measure is a function of the vessel. The vessel determines the capacity. However, full measure is a function of your bosom. Whew. I pray you get this in Jesus' name. Good measure is a function of your vessel. Full measure is a function of your bosom. Pastor, what are you saying? What I'm saying is that your vessel has a capacity. Your heart does not have a capacity. Your bosom, figuratively, is limitless, does not have a capacity. So while your vessel does have a capacity, your heart, your bosom, does not have a capacity. You know, last week we looked at it tied to the mind and we explained all that. If you missed it, you want to go get it, right? Now, this week, we are focusing on the aspect of the heart. So your bosom, you've heard statements of my bosom friends, you know? When you say someone is your bosom friend, what does that mean? You know? Yeah. So you guys, you know, you love each other, you've been together for a bit and you are really connected. So your bosom determines how you handle the overflow. In fact, your bosom determines how much overflow you can handle. The things that actually separate people, the great people that are going to do amazing things on earth, yes, it's the capacity of their vessels, but beyond that is how they can handle the overflow. It's how they can handle the overflow. We are in July already. Go and check your bank account. Just sum and check how much has flown through your account this year alone. Check. Then now go 5 years. You know, you can do that these days. Just check bank statements and just sum inflows, right? Many of us will be shocked. Many of us will be repenting. We'll be saying to God, have mercy, Lord. Because many people complain. Meanwhile, God is saying, I have brought overflow your way. I have brought overflow your way. So your heart determines how you maximize the overflow. If you have a greedy heart, it will leak your overflow. If you have a vain heart, it will leak your overflow. If you have, you know, and on. A heart that is not content, it will always leak the overflow. So that's one aspect of the bosom that affects the overflow. The other aspect of the bosom that affects the overflow is how your heart is to other people. It's how your heart is to other people. So we see that so shall men, another tradition says, pour into your bosom. So this pouring is going to happen by orchestration of men. He didn't say, so shall angels pour into your bosom. Some of us, we wish that was the case. But he said, so shall men. So shall men give to your bosom. So shall men pour upon you. Your overflow is tied to your heart and is tied to other people. You see, you will not miss that in the name of Jesus. Your overflow is tied to other people. It's tied to other people. Your loyalty to other people. Your faithfulness to other people. Your relationship with other people. Check. Your loyalty is tied to your overflow. Your faithfulness is tied to your overflow. Your friendliness. Your friendliness. Pastor, friendliness. Yes. So you see, people are just cantankerous and they don't understand that it is tied to their overflow. It is the classic scripture we read last week, we referred to last week, 2 Kings 1 to 7, 2 Kings 4, 1 to 7. 2 Kings 4, 1 to 7. The widow came to Elisha and said, look, we have this situation here. You know that my husband has been a good man. Now we're in trouble. She placed a demand. Elisha responded and said, listen, there's always more in God. What do you have? I have oil. Now, Elisha, of course, knew that what was going to happen is that the oil is going to go into the vessels they have, right? So everybody has vessels. I mean, back in the day, particularly the cook, and they have where they store water and, you know, basins and stuff. So Elisha said to her, don't be limited. This is me paraphrasing. Don't be limited to the vessels you have. There is going to be an overflow. When God does stuff, there's going to be an overflow. So what would have happened is that she would have gone into her house, put her vessels on the ground, and pour the oil, and miraculously the oil will multiply, fill all the vessels in her house that she has her own capacity. It will spill and it will stop. David, thou anointed my head with oil, my cup runs over. So it always runs over. God always runs over, right? It will run over. And when it's running over, heaven will stop it. It will run over. When your vessel is out of capacity, it will run over. And when it runs over on your vessel, it stops. But Elisha was saying to this woman, so shall men give unto your bosom. What does that mean? He said to her, go and borrow vessels. Borrow vessels. Now, the borrowed vessels is to contain the overflow. It's to contain the overflow, right? To account for the overflow, to maximize the overflow. So the pressed down and shaking together can only maximize your vessels. However, that is still limited. It's still limited. So it will still run over. Now, when he says borrow vessels, inherent in that, we've explained before, inherent is that is relational skills. Borrow vessels. You see, let me tell you this. Let's say God wants to do a miracle in your life and says, okay, you know what? I'm going to multiply wealth into every car you have in your, that you can park in your house. Even if you park them in it, you have a large expanse of land. Every car you can park in there, I will fill it with gold. You have your car. And God says, go and borrow cars from your neighbors. Go and borrow cars. You have a large expanse of land, yes, that you can park the cars, yes. So go and borrow cars. How many of your neighbors will borrow you cars? Think about it. How many cars can you borrow? When we realize that our bosom, so shall men pour into your bosom, has to do with how we connect and relate and the expansiveness of our network, if you will, we begin to prioritize having good relationships with people. Not because we want to use them, just because that is how the world works. That's how the world works. You have to be a good person. I know people that if they want to borrow 20 cars in this Lagos, they will borrow it. You may know such people also. But I know some people that if they want to borrow one, it will be difficult. And that is how vessels were. Not like the equivalent to cars, but vessels were personal things in those days that people cannot just give. You don't just give your vessels to strangers. One, you don't give your vessels to someone you don't like. Two, you don't just give your vessels to someone you don't trust. Three. So this woman had a large heart, had a large bosom. So as men brought the vessel, they were bringing the vessel to her bosom. So the overflow was flowing through her. Our own vessels were filled. They were now flowing into the borrowed vessels. So the abundance she had was directly linked to the largeness of her heart. Why? Because when the vessels finished, the oil stayed. The oil stopped. The oil does not overflow on borrowed vessels. The oil only overflow on your own vessels. But when you borrow vessels, it will overflow into them. But when you run out of the borrowed vessels, boom, it stops. It stops. A lot of your miracles, a lot of our miracles are tied to other people in a way that we don't even understand. I think it's in John 9. A man, the Bible says, was born blind from birth. It is important that the Bible says he was blind from birth because he had never seen before. Jesus made mud with his spit. Now, that's not where we are going. He anointed the man's eyes. He was blind. Now, Jesus anointed his eyes. And Jesus said to him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. This man was blind. You have just put mud in, even in his eyes that cannot see. And you are telling him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. A blind man. I can't even begin to tell you how far away it is or how not straightforward it was for the blind man to get to the pool. How did he get to the pool? Jesus did not command anybody to take him to the pool. Jesus did not say, oh, you, Peter, oh, you've been jobless. Take this blind man to the pool. No. He said to the blind man, go and wash. Inherent in that instruction is the bosom of the blind man. Even though he was blind, he was a nice man. Pastor, how did you know? Because he had people that were willing to help him to the pool. He had people that would hold his hands to the pool. The fact that he was blind, some people, the fact that you are blind doesn't mean you have to be nasty. The fact that you are blind doesn't mean you have to be bitter. He had people, hallelujah, take him to the pool. Take him to the pool. So you need more vessels for your overflow. You need more vessels. God's full measure is good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. It always goes beyond you and I. It always goes beyond you and I. Always. In Luke 6:43, the word of God says that a good tree can't produce bad fruit. And a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So make the tree good, the fruit will be good. The bosom, your heart, a bad heart cannot produce a good life. A heart that is filled with bitterness, envy, jealousy, resentment cannot produce. So, which is why we have to always, at this time, oh yes, we thank God for full measure. We thank God for all that He's doing in our lives and all that has happened here, you know, and will continue to happen. The state of your heart determines how you are able to sustain it and how it is able to continue to overflow. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit. You know, so sometimes we are overly concerned. You should be. Not worried, but you know, want to know what if you are producing good fruit. That's normal, right? However, what the Word of God is saying to you and I is, focus on the tree. Focus on the tree. Focus on your heart. So shall men pour. So shall it be given into your bosom. Focus on your bosom. Focus on your heart. Why? Because a good tree cannot produce a bad fruit. Cannot produce a bad fruit. Similarly, a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. Cannot produce good fruit. Why? So, when we pay attention to what matters most, we realize, like Jesus said, that out of the abundance of the heart, the life flows, the mouth speaks. So people are trying in their relationships to, be a good person, to say the right things, to not to upset their partner, or not to upset the family, or not to. But God is saying, you wear yourself out like that. That's why you are tired. That's why you feel worn. Because like you are walking on a minefield. What God is saying to you and I is, make the tree good, then its fruits will be good. What does that mean? Make your heart good. Let God cleanse your heart. Let your heart be good and genuine. Don't worry about the fruits. The fruit is going to be good. So it means that something is happening. Okay, let's say you are at work, which is why a lot of people try to put up, you know, and butt lick at work and stuff. Why? Because they want to be seen as doing good. They want to be seen as did. You don't need to worry about that. If your heart is good, so if your heart is good towards your colleague, somebody dresses well to work or achieves something, and people actually are giving compliment and they say, oh, great work you have done. And you too, you want to be seen as being a good person. But you're like, great work you've done. But in your heart, you're like, only God knows if she has slept with the boss. How will she get this kind of award? So that is a bad heart. That's a bad heart. What God is saying is, it is better you correct your heart than to say anything. So when you have that thought of, only God knows what she did to get the promotion. Only God knows what he did to get the promotion. only this, only that. It's a bad heart. It's a bad heart. So what your work is work on that heart. Make sure it is good by the help of the Holy Spirit, so that when you are rejoicing with people, it is genuine. Why? Because if the heart is bad, you have done yimu, God is saying, don't worry, that yimu is going to come out one day. And when it comes out, and then the repercussions comes, then you begin to fast and pray. You say, the enemy is the village people. No. It is the bad heart. Why? Because a good tree cannot produce a bad fruit. And a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. Let me read that again. A good tree can't produce bad fruit. And a bad tree can't produce good fruit. Make the tree good, and the fruit will be good. Hearing lies the key to abundance of life. Hearing lies the key to abundance of overflow. So shall men give unto your bosom. So at the end of the day, is a heart work. At the end of the day, it is your heart. It is your heart. You see, forget about the flamboyance or the fame or the bling bling or the. When it's all said and done, it is a heart work. It is a heart work. You know, story of my spiritual father. What would be his deathbed? When I went to see him, it told me so many things. So many things. One of the things that stood out for me was, Femi, this work is a heart work. Guard your heart. If your heart is good, the fruit will be good. Don't worry about it. But if your heart is bad, the fruit will be bad. There's nothing you can do. So many times when people say, oh, people are misunderstanding me. Oh, this and that. You have a bad heart. Face it. Face it. You see, they're not misunderstanding you. The heart is bad. I say, but Pastor, what if they are misunderstanding me? You are the only one on earth that is being misunderstood. Check your heart. Be honest with yourself. Therein lies your peace and your abundance. The app is going to come up. Am I going to pray a heart prayer? But before then, I want to pray with you. If you're like, Pastor, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I want to give my life to God. I want to give my life to God. If that is you, wherever you are, we want to pray with you. Put your hand up over your head now. Put it up. Put it up. God bless you.